Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Beth Wee Radio Hour, an hour dedicated to helping you find connection so you can live your best life. Hey, it's time for the 5 on 5. And once again, the 5 on 5 is sponsored by a wonderful Vero Beach salon called Kaleidoscope Hair. Over there, you'll find formerly with The Color Experience, Sandra Reynoso and Kelly Ruiz, and they are dedicated to giving patrons the best cuts, the most natural color, and everyone's favorite extraordinary shampoos. You can find them in the Kmart Plaza at 1545 U.S. Highway 1 right here in lovely Vero Beach, Florida, or give them a call at 772-569-3645. Kaleidoscope Hair, get a new twist on your look today. They will truly give you something to be grateful for.
Truly.
Truly.
Today's 5 on 5, we're talking about joys.
Joys.
Yeah. No, you can't do it from there. We're looking at something, too. Yeah. We're talking about joys. You ready for 5 different joys to be grateful for?
Let me have them.
Number 1 or 5. Which way do you want to go? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1? Number 5.
And she asked me like it matters.
The joys in the midst of crisis. And the reason I wrote that one down is because this week we had a terrible flood in Vero Beach, Florida. And everybody was kind of freaked out, like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to our houses, to our, you know, is a tornado going to touch down? Where, what's happening? And in the middle of that, this young boy was kayaking down my street.
Oh, I love it.
The street was flooded, and he was in a kayak, and he was kayaking down my street. Now, you know, it was cute. I got a picture of him, and I put it on Facebook and stuff.
Up north, I remember sleigh riding on the streets.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, number four, the joys of little children. Seeing something that delights a child when they see it for the first time.
Yes.
Isn't that great to see when you see a kid see something? Maybe it's Christmas lights or something. The first place they see that's decorated, and then they're like, they're just shocked. You know, they love it.
Well, even back to babies, I would, you know, on the internet every now and then, there'll be this YouTube or whatever of a little baby laughing.
Yeah.
And I mean, if that doesn't crack you up,
nothing will.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, number 3, the joys of pets.
Yes.
The tail wagging, the leg rubbing, the nose butting against you, you know, whatever it is, whatever kind of pet you have.
Pet affection.
Yes, that's right. Number 2, the joys of family. Many generations gathered together sharing food and stories. I love to see that. You know?
Absolutely.
Pictures of Thanksgiving, stuff like that. Pictures of a graduation, whatever it is, it's lovely to see. And number 1, the joys of the earth in the spring. Seeing all the colors, all the different greens, for example. Hearing all the sounds, like the birds and even the bugs. Smelling the scents, like the smell after a rain. Feeling the warmth of, like, the sun on your skin. And then all the multitude of textures and play. Mm. All the different things.
Well, folks may think, we're here in on the Treasure Coast of Florida. But don't think we don't have a change of seasons, because right now I know my gardens are coming alive.
Oh, yeah.
I know my banana tree has just come out with its bananas for the season. My palm trees are all flushing out with new fronds.
Nice.
So it's exciting to watch.
And, you know, I was walking at the Lagoon Greenway, which is a little nature path we have in Vero Beach, Florida.
Not for midday in the middle of the summer. It almost killed me once.
Yeah, it's like it's a 2-mile lap
trek
around. Yeah. And you get to see the river and different things. And then you have to walk in to the 2-mile lap. So it's probably almost 3 miles once you really do it all up. But, oh my goodness, Lee, what was blooming? All the weeds. The weeds were beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And then the butterflies. Remember, I put all the butterflies together because I saw so many different kinds. I went home and looked them up. I was like, I didn't know there were this many kinds of butterflies right here in my little area.
I just had that conversation with my darling Elizabeth the other day, because, and she gets it, When I was up north, I had worked up north by myself for 7 months. Diane had stayed here, and on my day off, I would drive up to this place called Perkins Memorial Drive. If you're in the suburbs of New York, you may know it. And I would just walk in the woods, and everything fascinated me. Structures of rocks, like you say, weeds,
right.
seeing little insects, because, you know, I recognize it. I'm looking, I'm observing, I'm open to it. You know, how many of us today go traipsing through life and just like with blinders on?
Forget to look. Well, that's part of what we're talking about with ourselves too, Lee, because we're talking about becoming part of the team. And to be part of the team, you have to see what you're bringing. You have to see the good. Many of us know what we lack, but we don't know what we bring. What are the good things? I've had some people that you hear us talk about many different programs. One we use a lot is the 12 steps, probably because I taught a 12-step study group for 25 years, so that's why I refer to it a lot. One of the things in the 12 steps is to do a moral inventory. And after somebody's gotten the gist of what they're working with, whether they're working with their own addiction or living with someone who's an addict or their own gambling or food issue, whatever they're dealing with, whatever they're using those 12 steps
for. Codependence.
Yeah, whatever they're using it for. Once they get a kind of a handle on it, when they're working the steps, I say, on this fourth step, I want you to only write your assets.
Oh.
And that's a really hard one for a lot of people, to list only their assets.
Because as it said, inventories are not taken only mm-hmm. in red ink.
Yeah. So that's important, you know. And to get to know yourself, you have to know the good and the bad. You know, we're really quick to point out the bad about ourselves, to criticize ourselves, to scold ourselves. But we have to be able to see the good about ourselves, too.
And there's humility, recognizing the good as well as the bad.
Yeah, that makes the world a better place, because then you bring the good to us. You bring the good to the team. And as you're more assured in your own individual stance, you're going to make the team prosper. You're going to come to recognize gifts so evident in your peers. And then you're going to say, oh my gosh, and then I have that too. And then ba-boom, ba-boom. It'll be like you'll become part of that unified crew, whatever it is.
Through the wonder of identification.
Yeah. You'll see in them, and you'll see yourself in them, and you'll see them in you. And when disconnection does happen, or you sense a change in attitudes, look for a couple of issues, because there's a couple of things that can make us go off quickly. One that I mentioned is time crunch. You know, when you're in a time crunch, when you have too much scheduled, it can make you feel pushed, like there's no backup. You know, I overscheduled myself again this last week. I'm going to be going away. I have a lovely godson in Texas who is celebrating it's a sacrament. It's confirmation. And I am going to go to Texas to be there while he has this wonderful opportunity.
Yeehaw.
Yeah, but to do that, I kind of overscheduled myself on the coming and on the going. You know, I'm kind of on each side of it. I'm pushing a little bit.
I get it.
And I missed two appointments. I made an appointment with two different people, and I missed it.
Oh.
That's not like me. And unfortunately, it really upset me, too. But, you know, time crunch can make us feel pushed, like there's no backup. So, you know when things in your life are at a peak. And be prepared for full days. This is going to sound crazy. This is not something I deal with, but some of you listening, if you're being pushed, if you're at a place where you're at a peak, maybe somebody in your family that you love is graduating soon, and you've got people coming to town for that, or whatever it is, and you're feeling pushed, watch the caffeine. You know, I mean,
you don't need to add extra stimulation.
Yeah, it does increase energy, that's true, but it's always followed by a crash. And the same goes for sugar. So when you're already, your body's already morphing with energy because you're pushed, and then you add the caffeine or the sugar, you're going to crash hard. So be aware of that.
Well, and what you just mentioned is you know, we've spoken before about your efforts at one point, and I guess continually, to overcome considering being driven an
right.
asset.
Right.
And being driven is not necessarily
no.
a positive.
Not always. You miss out on a lot of life. You don't go for the walk at the Lagoon Greenway and count the butterflies.
There you go.
You know, you miss that. Yeah. Okay. The other one is the disconnection can also happen in another way. So the first one was time crunch. The other one is kind of like a resignation from team culture. And I mean that when you start to see the world through me-colored glasses. It's, you know, all about me. It's about me. It's not about them. And I like to mention that story of the lone wolf. I'll always remember it. The person who told me about it was a man named Michael Smart, and he's a local guy in the Vero Beach area. He works at John's Island. He's just a wonderful regular guy. He's a good electrician.
And his intellect is true to his name.
Oh my goodness, he is. He reads so much, and he's quick. And
a great collection of T-shirts.
Yes, he does. But he was telling me this one time about a lone wolf. And he said, you know, Beth, the Native Americans who treasure and revere the wolf will kill the lone wolf. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, yeah, they'll kill a lone wolf. A wolf was created to be a member of a pack. When a wolf separates from his pack, something is terribly wrong, and he will kill for no reason. Those are the wolves that are dangerous. So those of you out there that have always thought the lone wolf was a symbol of strength and power, sorry, it's a symbol of insanity and, you know, being off your mark. And according to Native American tradition. And that really helped me because, you know, when I start to see the world through me-colored glasses and I lose my team culture, I get in trouble. And I get disconnected, I get a negative vibe.
And like the wolves, we as human beings were born to connect. It is our nature.
Right. So how do you avoid that? You avoid it the fastest way is to help somebody else in need. Mm. You know, the fastest way back to connection, become part of the team again on purpose.
You are the best way out of me.
Yeah. See somebody who needs something and help them. I mean, it can be as simple as driving down the road and seeing like a piece of a tire that's in the road and it could be trouble for someone who didn't see it. Pull off the road, be careful, go get it and get it out of the roadway.
Well, I break for turtles. I'm one of those guys you see pulled over, you know, stopping yeah. traffic, taking the turtle out of the road.
I'll do the same thing. So that's the thing. What are you contributing? Look at your list of gifts and get busy. If you're disconnected, just start contributing again. Because as a team, we need to work together. We have shared goals. We want to be happy. We want to have order. We want cohesion among people.
And we are all in this together.
Well, we're going to take a short little break, and we're going to come back. We're talking to you. Hey, you're on our team. We're so great. We're so grateful.
You're up.
Okay, stay tuned.
If you connect with the thoughts and words of Beth Wee Radio Hour, you should click on our website to find ideas that will help you live your best life. At BethWee.com, you'll discover Beth's weekly blog that encourages growth, a format you can fill in to create a prayer of victory to help you through a tough time, and in-depth videos teaching on 12 steps, even if you aren't battling alcoholism or addiction. Beth speaks to your personal place of brokenness so you can rise above it. All this and more at BethWee.com. Check it out today.
And welcome back, folks. I wanted to take a moment to mention that we will be continuing our monthly series of workshops on Saturday, June 11th. And the subject this time will be self-esteem, power up. Is it that you are not loved by others, or do you not value yourself highly enough? Let's talk about it. And again, this will be Saturday, June 11th from 2:30 to 4:30 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church, 520 Royal Palm Boulevard, Vero Beach, Florida. $20 includes all materials and refreshments, but as always, if that is an obstacle to you, please, please don't let it be. We always have folks willing to come up with scholarships for those that have the will, but not the means. So once again, Saturday, June 11th, self-esteem, power up. We hope you can join us.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. And today we're talking about team building. Okay, not really, but we're talking about building ourselves so that we can be part of the team. We're talking to everybody. from the fella sitting right now on the sofa who hasn't left the condo in weeks, to somebody who's out there driving from one thing to another, frantically engaged in everything, but not really connected with anybody. We want you to connect. We want you to really be part of the team. Really, you know, notice what's going on. Be involved. You know, there are many things that can build a team. Skills and talents. I see a difference between the two. I think that skills are learned and practiced.
And talents are given.
Yeah, they're innate. They're given to you by creation. You were designed that way.
Mm-hmm.
So what can we do to make us better team players, to make us better in this community? And one of the big things I want to definitely talk about is communication.
Mm.
Communication's really important.
Absolutely.
Don't you agree? Yeah. You know, it's important that we be able to express our thoughts and feelings openly, but without threat. What is it that the Al-Anon group teaches? They say, say what you mean what you say, but don't say it mean. Which is a lovely way of saying it.
Which is one way of saying, speak your truth.
Yeah.
You know, it's, but don't.
But be empathetic to the people around you. And the, another part of communication. So that's you know, expressing your thoughts and feelings. What about listening? Listening carefully is an important part of communication. Have you ever had somebody started to answer you before you finished speaking?
Well, I don't remember if it was you, but somebody had referenced a study about how, I forget, a huge majority of people are listening to you for a minuscule amount of time before they're already considering what their next, what they're going to say.
Yeah, what will I, how will I answer this?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, listening is important, and as you practice it, you'll get better at it. Look at the person who's talking, for one thing. Look them in the eye if you can.
Oh, eye contact is huge.
It's really important to help someone know that you're listening. Okay, the next one. Ask questions when you don't have clarity. You know, understanding ideas and emotions of other people, it's going to take some work. It's not going to just, you know, you didn't fall off the turnip truck with that skill. It's a skill. You learn it and you practice it and you get better at it.
But it's worth the effort.
It is worth the effort. But it's important when you don't understand or when you don't... I sometimes talk to a friend or talk to someone in my drive time. And sometimes I can't hear them, either because of the sound outside. Maybe it's raining or something, or maybe it's whatever. And I'll have to say, I'm sorry, what did you say? I couldn't hear you. And I'll need more clarity. That's just a positive part of communication. I could just blow it off and just not let them know that I couldn't hear them. But then I don't really know what they're talking about.
And that's not interaction.
That's right. That's not interaction. That's just going through the motions.
Yeah.
Okay, the last one. So we've had expressing your thoughts and feelings, listening carefully, asking questions when you don't have clarity. The last one I want to talk about is watch your nonverbal communication.
Oh, that wonderful body language.
Oh, my goodness. You know, if you look back to Puritan American time, shunning was what they did to punish people.
Well, and it, to some extent, continues to be.
It does. When you ignore someone, you hurt them.
I will never forget, Beth, many, many years ago when you and I first started working together, you know, on ourselves, interacting, and you had said to me, and I don't remember exactly how, that the, that worse than disrespecting somebody is rendering them insignificant.
Right.
And I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
It's a truism.
Well, you know, with the work we do with Beth, we reach out to people that have been broken. And we reach out to people that want to grow. And then we reach out to people that want to help others grow. So it's kind of an interesting, we all kind of get in it together. But I've worked with people through Beth, and I'll say, hey, could you talk to, and I'll use a name, somebody else who's interested or helping. And the person will look at me with, like, terror in their eyes. Uh-huh. And it's happened a couple times, and I said, what's the matter? Oh, she doesn't like me. What do you mean she doesn't like you? No, she like ignores me if she runs into me. If we're with like in a crowd or something, she ignores me.
Or they'll come with, you know how sometimes you just know when somebody doesn't like you?
And you know, it's like, so then for those people, I say, give her the opportunity to mend that fence.
Or maybe your perception is wrong.
Absolutely. But give her the opportunity to mend that fence.
Mm-hmm.
Give it another shot. Go out in the spirit of service to be there for her. To get in her face so that she has to render you significant.
And they are suffering from disconnection as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's just the communication. Now, when I talk about nonverbal communication, and we're just talking about ignoring, there's also all the other things, raising the eyebrows, making the noises, rolling the eyes. Have you ever heard the slant of the head when you look at somebody like over your glasses and you're looking, kind of, you're almost looking down on them like, you know, you're.
You know, my wife has me down to, I will consciously try never to roll my eyes. She can see if my eyes twitch.
Well, that's, you know, we teach people how to treat us, you know, yeah. So we pay attention, you know, we pay attention when we're training. You know, there's a couple of big problems with communication, even if you're trying to follow the ones we just suggested, even those four things that we just talked about. There's unspoken assumptions. When we speak, but we assume that other people know what we're thinking, it can paralyze the function of the relationship. And, you know, there's the saying, speak your truth, even if your voice shakes.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to speak your truth. Because when you don't speak and you just assume people know what you mean, dysfunction will always come. You know, there's the assume thing.
Yes, the analogy we won't mention.
Yeah.
You make a fool of you and me.
That's right. When you falloon. No, I don't know. Those of you that
just
know
spell it
know
out.
What we're saying. Yeah, you know. And then so unspoken assumptions. So when you don't speak, but you assume that you know what others are thinking, it paralyzes how you're going to interact.
And I would go as far as to say, if you are assuming you know what someone else thinks, you are more than likely frequently wrong.
Right. And then there's the other people that don't feel, don't speak, don't tell. That's like they were trained with that. They somewhere in their family, they were taught, don't feel, don't speak, don't tell.
We don't air our dirty laundry.
So they don't say that. So that's one thing. Okay. The other one is spoken untruths and judgment. I've talked about it before. I did it with my kids, and I've done it at a couple workshops. The toothpaste challenge.
Yes, indeed.
And once what we do is we give people tubes of toothpaste. When you do it with kids, it's really fun. I did it around a round table. I put a plastic cover over it.
Oh, we've had fun with a few adults, too.
Yeah, and we have at some of the workshops. And you give them a tube of toothpaste, and you give a prize to whoever can squeeze all the toothpaste out of the tube first.
Yep.
And they really work hard at it.
But then the grand prize comes.
Whoever can get the toothpaste back in the tube the fastest.
Huh?
And it doesn't happen. With kids, they'll try. The kids will be, they'll have it all over them. It's kind of fun to watch. But, you know, once spoken, the lesson in that is once spoken, you cannot get your words back. Your words are like the toothpaste in the tube. So really think before you speak. Really think before you speak. Because once they're out there, that's it. When you speak a judgment, or you speak something that you see to be a truth, but it might be an untruth, it's hard to get that back.
One of the ones that always parallels with this with me is gossip. You know?
Yeah.
Beware gossip. Once it's out, it's out.
Right, right. Well, you know, we've talked about a lot of things today.
We have.
But we've talked about teamwork, you know, being a member of a team, being a member of the team of man, you know? And teamwork starts with solid individuals.
And you mentioned even if your team is as small as you and your dog, mm-hmm. Okay, you serve your team best if you are whole.
Right, absolutely. You know, take stock of the gifts and talents that you possess. Even if you're the one sitting in the condo and you haven't left for a long time, what talents do you possess? Can you reach out to somebody via email and just encourage them? You can still work from where you are, even if you are so held up that you can't get out in public.
Reach out to us at BethWee.com. We would love to engage in a dialogue with you.
Yeah. We love all of you. Thanks for listening. Do yourself a favor. Communicate with the people you love. Tell them you love them today. We'll be here next week. Thanks for tuning in.